From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. President Donald Trump has just signed two executive orders to, quote, help American energy companies avoid unnecessary red tape as they build oil and gas pipelines across the U.S. The move is intended to make it harder for government agencies to regulate the fossil fuel industry. It would also specifically undermine existing laws, such as the Clean Water Act. Appearing at the International Union of Operating Engineers International Training and Education Center in Texas, Trump took advantage of a photo op featuring oil and gas workers to make his case for the executive orders.
Nobody in the world can do what you folks do. Yes. And we're going to make it easier for you. Because in a few moments, I will sign two groundbreaking executive orders to continue the revival of the American energy industry and jobs. My action today will cut through destructive permitting delays and denials. You know about that? You know about delays? Or it takes you 20 years to get a permit? Those days are gone. Now, you may not get it at all, but it's going to take, it's going to be quick if you don't. My first order will speed up the process for approving vital infrastructure on our nation's borders, such as oil pipelines, roads, and railways. It will now take no more than 60 days. That's a vast improvement. And the president, not the bureaucracy, will have sole authority to make the final decision when we get caught up in problem. My second order will modernize regulations for LNG export terminals and encourage new infrastructure financing. It will improve access for workers and operators to maintain electrical lines. And finally, it will stop state-level abuse of water quality certifications. They abuse you. When you're nowhere near water, they abuse you, from blocking the construction of vital pipeline projects.
President Trump in Crosby, Texas, this week signing a pair of executive orders while he addresses oil and gas workers there. We are now joined by David Turnbull, Strategic Campaigns Director with Oil Change US. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me.
So first, this notion that oil and gas pipeline projects have to wait 20 years to get a permit approved. Is that really true? Is that really normal?
Unfortunately, that's actually not true. Unsurprisingly, President Trump is exaggerating. Certainly, there are some projects that have taken a long time to be either approved or denied, but those are for good reasons. Those are because projects are receiving extra scrutiny because maybe they are too large or there are problems related to them. But the reality is that the vast majority of pipelines in the United States get a very quick approval. And in fact, the status quo is for pipelines in the United States to be approved quite quickly. And that's a problem for our communities and for our climate.
Now, let's first focus on the climate aspect, which is the sort of long-term impact of expanding oil and gas pipelines. There's also the short-term aspect of what happens to communities whose homes are cut across by these pipelines. But your organization, Oil Change US, released a report earlier this year on the impact of expanded drilling and oil pipeline expansions throughout the United States at a time when we see palpably our climate changing. How critical is it for us to remind ourselves of the impact on our climate when we're talking about oil and gas pipelines? I mean, Trump is essentially acting as if there's no such thing as climate change.
That's right. We know President Trump denies the reality of our climate crisis, but we see it every day in our backyards with the impacts of wildfires and floods and droughts and so many more. Our report that we released earlier this year shows and uncovers a real emergency in expansion of oil and gas production in the United States. We found that some 60% of the increase of oil production around the world will be coming from here in the United States in the years to come if we don't take action to arrest that expansion. We're talking about the CO2, the greenhouse gas emissions equivalent of 1,000 new coal-fired power plants being built if we allow the oil and gas expansion that is planned by the industry to continue at pace in the coming decades. So this is a real emergency for us here in the United States and across the world, because we simply can't afford that expansion of oil and gas production. We know that we already, an existing oil, gas, and coal projects around the world have more carbon underneath those projects than our climate can afford if we want to stay within the limits of global warming that would allow us to have a stable society. So these executive orders that President Trump signed this week are really just trying to grease the skids even more for this really dangerous expansion of oil and gas production that is simply completely in the opposite direction to where we need to be headed.
And as you and I are talking, there is a bomb cyclone pummeling the central United States, the second time just this year, and we're only 4 months into the year that we've had such a bomb cyclone. I mean, it sounds horribly dramatic because it is. These are the kinds of weather effects that have ordinarily been rare and are now increasingly more common. We see this evidence all around us, but Trump expects us to believe that there's no such thing as climate change, or if there is, we just shouldn't worry about it.
That's right. He's going against the hundreds and hundreds of scientists, 97% of scientists that say that the climate crisis is real. He's going against the United Nations that issued a report saying that if we don't keep global warming below 1.5 degrees Celsius, we're going to see massive impacts. And he's going against just everyday reality. Mozambique, we saw Cyclone Idai, really just devastate areas of that country. We're even here, I'm based in Oregon, and down in southern Oregon, they're seeing serious flooding as we speak as well. The reality is that our climate crisis is here and we need to take action. But, President Trump is really just trying to play to his big oil friends. He just installed a big oil lobbyist as the Secretary of the Interior. And, we've
David
seen
Bernhardt.
It up and down the administration. That's right, David Bernhardt. So, we're seeing it up and down the administration of just catering to the oil industry's wishes instead of actually listening to the people of the United States who are clamoring for climate action.
How much does our current set of laws actually constrain oil and gas pipeline corporations, imposing with these oil and gas workers of a union, oil and gas workers union? The implication is that by unfettering these corporations, we're going to increase oil and gas jobs. But are they even really that well regulated? Does his signing mean that we're going to now open some floodgates that had been kind of kept closed?
No, the reality is that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, which regulates some of these pieces, the natural gas pipelines and terminals, is largely a rubber stamp. They actually approve the vast majority of the proposals that they see before them. And meanwhile, let's remember that the fossil fuel industry in the United States receives some $20 billion each year in subsidies from state and federal governments. So they are being the recipient of massive tax breaks and other subsidies to help them continue to stay afloat. Meanwhile, the renewable energy technologies are becoming cheaper and more cost-effective and much more competitive with these fossil fuel powers. And so the Trump administration is trying to do whatever it can to continue to prop up this industry, whether it's through subsidies or these executive orders. But we see people rising up every day in communities that are at the forefront of the fossil fuel industry, at the front lines, saying they don't want these pipelines or terminals in their backyards. They want to see us move in a new direction because they're grappling with the pollution and the impacts of this industry every day.
We basically need greater regulation than of these corporations, of these projects, not less regulation. I want to pick up on what you just said about the subsidies that oil and gas corporations receive. This issue was very eloquently raised by freshman Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez this week during a climate hearing, when she basically explained that her Green New Deal, which would not only promote jobs, but also help tackle climate change, was being misrepresented by Republicans who clearly hadn't read it. And she said, why are subsidies for solar corporations labeled socialism, but the vast subsidies that Republicans continue, and even Democrats to an extent, continue to approve for oil and gas corporations, somehow magically not considered socialism? That's smart. We don't hear lawmakers raising such an issue very often, do we?
That's right. It was a great statement from the representative, and she's exactly right. When it comes to benefits for the fossil fuel industry, Republicans and lawmakers are very happy to go along with it and to provide those benefits. But when it comes to trying to actually incentivize what we need to see to safeguard our communities and our climate, there is massive resistance. And part of that is because the fossil fuel industry has a stranglehold on a number of members of Congress and lawmakers around the country by way of massive campaign contributions, huge lobbying efforts, and other ways of really trying to distort our democracy. So it was great to see Representative Ocasio-Cortez stand up and say, look, this is just inconsistent. You know, if you're going to be saying that subsidies for the renewable energy industry are inappropriate, you simply cannot defend subsidies that have been going to the fossil fuel industry for over 100 years.
And this is, of course, one of the most profitable industries in the world. Now, the climate chaos that fossil fuel companies have been responsible for creating itself is likely to have an impact on the infrastructure of these fossil fuel companies, right? Meaning the pipelines themselves. If we have a country where that is more and more crisscrossed with oil and gas pipelines at a time when weather patterns are unpredictable because of climate chaos, don't we unleash the greater potential for leaks, for damage to these pipelines when you have a severe weather?
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, case in point, the Keystone XL pipeline, which still has yet to be built, thankfully, but that President Trump is trying to make happen. The route for that pipeline across Nebraska was actually underwater just recently in their massive flooding that was nearly unprecedented in that state. And that's a great example, a scary example of what you're talking about. The Keystone XL pipeline is a dangerous, dirty tar sands pipeline that would go across some very sensitive areas of Nebraska. And as it turns out, those areas are also susceptible now to extreme weather and the flooding that we saw in the last month. There's so many different reasons why we need to be charting a new path with our energy infrastructure and our energy policy, and ignoring the climate impacts that we expect to see in the future won't make them go away. It'll just make our situation at that point all the more dire. And what we're saying is we need to chart a new path now. We need to start a managed decline of the fossil fuel production in our United States so that we can actually plan that out and do it in a way that's just and with less economic upheaval than we might have to face if we delay action for years to come.
I want to talk about the Clean Water Act. In his announcement before signing the executive orders this week, Trump said that there are state-level abuse of water quality certifications. They abuse you with these certifications. And, you know, for a Republican, given that Republicans often cite the sovereignty of states over federal regulation, it's interesting to not hear any Republican opposition to this. States, I understand, are the ones that are supposed to be certifying projects, right? And making sure that they don't violate the Clean Water Act. What would these executive orders do to the Clean Water Act?
you know, it seems like he's trying to undermine them. And you're right. You know, I had a colleague say, you know, Donald Trump is all for states' rights in less pipelines. Unless they're going to get in the way of moving forward on the oil and gas industry's plans. You know, states have the authority under the Clean Water Act, under this Section 401, to issue or deny permits to protect their communities and their states from concerns around, you know, water quality. And we know that pipelines pose a grave threat to water quality and cross rivers across our country. In New York, the Clean Water Act was used as a way to stop a pipeline that that state didn't want crossing through its state. And here in Oregon, we're hoping that the governor here could use the Clean Water Act to try to stop a project, an LNG export terminal and pipeline that would cross through the southern part of the state and cross numerous rivers that are pristine and really important to the communities down there. So, you know, he's saying that it's an abuse simply because it's being used properly. He's saying it's an abuse because the result is that these pipelines don't get built in some cases. I'm excited, and I'm sure that there are lawyers out there already that are writing up briefs and going to plan actions to make sure that the Clean Water Act isn't gutted in the way that President Trump is trying to gut it with this executive order, and I look forward to that fight.
So essentially, you have state authorities that when there are new projects, such as pipelines being built, they have to certify those projects, the plans for those projects, to ensure that there's not going to be contamination of our drinking water, the water that every one of us relies on being able to drink to stay alive. So not an unreasonable type of regulation. And Trump is now, I understand, essentially saying that that he, not a bureaucracy, will have the authority to make decisions. And I'm wondering if you can hone in on that part of it. As part of his announcement on the executive orders, the president has now some sort of sole veto authority?
That's right. You know, he wants to take all the power that he can get. And in this case, it's power that, you know, was rightfully in the place of bureaucracy that has experts that are able to, you know, address these issues and to research and look into the problems or potential issues around these different pipelines. And rather, he's saying, no, I'm going to make these decisions and risk the lives and livelihoods and ecosystems and communities of people across this country just simply to be able to do the bidding of the oil industry. You know, these are bedrock environmental laws, the Clean Water Act, the National Environmental Policy Act, which is another one that he was taking an axe to this week. You know, these are laws that are triumphs of bipartisan regulatory development back, you know, decades ago. And these are laws that have protected Americans. And to see him taking swings at them and trying to undermine them in order to push forward fossil fuel industry projects that are going to really destroy our climate and communities, it's sad. But hopefully it will also energize people across this country to stand up and say no.
How significant is it that Trump used oil and gas workers as part of his photo op? Do you feel that, unfortunately, we've seen some, not all, but some unions stand in the way of progress on climate because they feel that it would impact jobs and union jobs. So instead of being forward-looking and, you know, seeing the prospect of green jobs that could be union jobs, seem to be stuck in relying on the fossil fuel industry because it means union power.
Yeah, I mean it's a tough challenge, and we need to be sure that we get it right. We simply can't, you know, leave workers behind in our transition to a green economy. We need to make sure that there is a just transition. And that's what's so exciting about things like the Green New Deal, where we're talking about this robust cross-sectoral cross-issue approach to really be comprehensive in moving forward on aggressive climate action. We need to make sure that communities and workers that are going to be affected by the transition away from the fossil fuel industry are supported, are able to move to new jobs, and are not left behind in this transition. I think it's definitely a political move to stand there with these fossil fuel industry workers, but we have to remember that they're not political pawns. These are people that have real jobs, and we need to be supportive of them. If we wait and continue to delay action on climate change, we're all going to be affected. Workers in the fossil fuel industry, in the renewables industry, healthcare workers, everyone is going to be affected by the impacts of climate change. And so what we're saying is, let's get moving now to start that transition in a way that we can plan for, we can manage, we can do it in a way that is just and provides services and resources for communities, rather than doing it in an emergency way some decades from now, where we simply have no choice and we're forced to face a much harder decision. Let's start now. Let's do it in a way that's in consultation with unions and labor leaders, and let's do it in a way that addresses our climate crisis.
Which is exactly what the Green New Deal resolution is trying to do. It's just a resolution, a simple, not very long resolution. So finally, you alluded earlier to the possibility of legal action opposing these executive orders. Much of what Trump does, of course, is symbolic and whipping up his base to try to now win re-election. But is there a strong likelihood that these executive orders will not go into effect because legal action might stop them or stymie them? Is there legal action that can be taken? Because if he's undermining or trying to undermine the Clean Water Act, he's essentially undermining congressional authority.
That's right. I sure hope so. There's a lot of fantastic environmental lawyers out there that have been doing some great work to push back on the terrible decisions that the Trump administration has been pushing forward to basically ignore environmental laws. And I think that this is clearly in that category as well. I also hope that maybe governors from around the country might stand up and say, hey, we're going to take this to court as well. Their authority to actually protect their communities is at stake here. So whether it's Governor Brown here in Oregon or Governor Cuomo in New York, we hope that these governors are looking at this and saying, oh, wait a minute, this is not going to work, and we're going to take you to court and protect our authority to protect communities from dirty fossil fuel industry projects.
David, can you give out a website where people can find out more about the work that you do with your organization and also access the report that we were discussing earlier?
Sure. You can find us at oilchangeus.org.
That's oilchangeus.org. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been David Turnbull, Strategic Campaigns Director with Oil Change US. We've been discussing Trump's signing of two executive orders on oil and gas drilling. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.